Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Can y'all hear me? Hey, what an opportunity we have to be the choir selected to sing praises to the Lord our God. Right? This isn't a concert. I'm not a comedian, although I am funny. They're not performers. They're not the choir. They're leading us. We're the choir. God's the audience, and we're going to sing praises to Him. Are y'all ready? Amen. Well, let's do it. Let me pray for us and we'll sing. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you that you came for us. Where would we be without you? We owe it all to Jesus. We're not ashamed and we're here to sing His praises. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? It's just good to sing. These songs are powerful around Christmas time because they have that powerful message of how God came for us. He came to identify with us, which is why I'm dressed like I am. And now I want y'all to appreciate this because I think you're going to want to say amen when you find out the whole rationale for why I'm dressed like I am right now. Two major gospel events recorded in the Bible tells how God came to identify with us. Okay? One of those events is Christmas. Right? What we're celebrating, the birth of Christ. Okay? He came to identify fully with us as human beings. He became a man. He walked a mile in our shoes. This is how he identified with us. Okay? The other major gospel event he identifies with us is at the cross. He identifies with our guilt before God. He identifies, though he himself was sinless, he takes our sin upon himself and dies a criminal's death, goes through trial and all those things. Those are the two ways. He identifies with our humanity, and he identifies with our guilt before God, and he dies as a sin offering for us. Now, when he was going through that time of trial, he was dressed in his clothes, but if it was today, he'd be dressed like in prison clothes, like I am today. But when he came as a baby, there in that shelter, that makeshift hospital where Mary gave birth, how was he dressed? What'd they wrap him in? So I figured to demonstrate how Christ came to identify with us, I could wear the clothes that he was wearing. And I chose to wear the clothes from the trial and not swaddling clothes. Are you glad? I mean, because those were my options, right? Now, I don't know who was going to swaddle me. That's a big diaper, you know what I'm saying? But the point is, I'm wearing this simply to demonstrate and to remind us of what the good news of the gospel is. Our God, who created us, who loves us, came to identify with us. And he didn't let nothing stop him. Man, he walked a mile in our shoes. He went through all the indignities that anybody could go through. You know, he had to grow up. He had to be awkward. I know people don't like to think. He had to pop pimples when he was a teenager too. You know what I mean? He went through all that mess, just like you and I. You know, he identified with us no matter how uncomfortable. Now, this is not my normal uniform, for which I am glad. Because it's not comfortable. I said, when I received this, I said, it's one size fits all. Well, I'm like, I hope there ain't nobody any bigger than me, because this is about it. You know, couldn't see here, but when I sat down, this thing becomes a compression suit. It goes, I go, and like all the air sucks out of it. And I'm just sitting there, and everything, every seam is just screaming, like, no more! I feel like a sausage packed up in this thing, you know? If there's any kind of motivation that you need for not going to jail, let it be the wardrobe if it ain't nothing else. Be like, they're going to stuff me into something that ain't going to be comfortable at all. You know, just at least have that much. But I'm going to tell you, what about Jesus? When he came to identify with us, again, he wasn't born in a hospital. He wasn't born with nurses and doctors. And man, when my kiddos were born, there was a whole staff of people ready and watching, ready to catch them. And they had to catch Allie. They had to catch Levi, too. Both them guys were just like, boo! They wanted to jump out early. And But they just had to... We had all these people concerned and caring for us. But what happened when the Lord came? What happened when Mary and Joseph, they came to the hotel? What'd they say? We ain't got no room for you. Really? You ain't got no room? They're in a corner in the lobby or something inside? You gonna put us out where they keep the animals? Come on, man. But he identified with us. Can I tell you how that works? When he identified with us, he came poor. You know, when Jesus was back in that day, when a son was born, when a baby was born, they had to offer a sacrifice. Okay, they would come to the temple with a sacrifice to say, we are giving glory to God, recognizing God in this birth as a blessing, and we're going to give a sacrifice. And there was like a sliding scale. If you had a lot of money, you gave a bull or a calf, calf or an ox, something like that. If you didn't, you'd give, you know, a lamb or a goat, something like that. And if you were poor, you gave what Mary and Joseph gave. They gave birds. They just gave pigeons as a sign of their gratitude toward God, but it was also a sign of their poverty. Why did Jesus come impoverished? A lot of people think, well, that way, you know, we would know that everybody, you know, whether you're rich or poor and all that stuff, everybody could be, you know, a Jesus follower. That's fine, but I think it's more than that. I think he was representing the fact that before God, we're all poor. Y'all know it don't matter what you got in your bank account, what you got as your net worth or your belongings. Before God, you are poor, broke, bankrupt, nothing. Ain't nothing you have materially, no talent that you have, no intellectual ability or property that you can get to impress God, not one bit. Before God, we're broke, y'all. We're poor. We're beggars. We need Him. We need what He offers. We need Him to intervene in our life. People say it's not a handout, it's a hand up. Well, we need the handout too. We need what God's given. We're broke before God. When Jesus came poor, He was coming that way to demonstrate our spiritual condition in reality. We're poor. And He even said this, you're blessed if you get that. Matthew chapter 5, He said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. You're blessed when you know you don't got no way to impress God, that you're going to have to depend on Him accepting you. That's all right. That's why He came. That's why He came like He did poor. You know why He died? Why didn't Jesus just die? Jesus was going to have to die for us. The whole Old Testament points to a sacrifice. There's a special born son who's going to be sacrificed for us, and He's going to be the Savior. But why did He have to get sacrificed through the legal system? I mean, why couldn't He have died some other way? Why did He have to die a painful way? Why couldn't He die more painless way? Like, He could have just said, I'm about to die for you, and in this cup I have some kind of weird poison, and drink it and die. Why did He die in His sleep? Why did He die in a camel accident? You know, going down the interstate in Jerusalem. And they're like, dun 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 dun, oh no, watch out, cliff, boom, explosion. I don't know what it would have exploded back then, but you know, it's you know. Why not something like that? Why not some kind of instant? Have you ever thought about that? We just take this stuff and we don't look at it as much, but I'm going to tell you what He was doing. He came and died a criminal's death so that we would know before God we're not only beggars, but we're sinners. That we're poor and we're guilty. Now, I ain't trying to be all stomping on us, right? You're like, this is supposed to be Christmas, John. You're supposed to be singing Merry Hallelujah and stuff. And I'm going to tell you, if you listen to this and you'll realize that Jesus identified with our guilt before God and that He took that guilt on Himself that we might experience freedom and redemption and justification, you'll be singing Merry Hallelujah. But if you just try to think, hey man, it's all just the same. Jesus just came and did these things and that's great. Let's just remember it. Let's be happy about Christmas time in church. It's never going to be real mean. It's not going to move you like it's supposed to. He came and filled the shoes of a criminal for you and me, that you and me might be seen as children of God in Him. Man, that's amazing. The Bible says people don't do that. That's my paraphrase. The Bible I'd write would be very thin. People just don't do that. But in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, it says, in due time, while we are yet without strength and ungodly, Christ died for us. For rarely will somebody die for a good man. Somebody might even perhaps die for a righteous man, but God demonstrates His own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, that's big. He didn't wipe it under the... He didn't just... What do you call it? Sweep it. See, I don't sweep or anything. Sweep. What's that? You know, when people get a broom and they move it. But he didn't sweep it under the rug. He didn't just ignore it and go, oh, I don't know what they did. I don't know. I don't. Maybe they had a reason. I don't know. He said they've sinned. They're guilty. But I'm going to come. I'm going to pay that price. Man, that's the good news. That's the good news. And hey, in response to that, Jesus identifying with us, we get to identify with Him. And I don't know about y'all, but of all the things that I hope at the end of my life, there can be some kind of account, they can say this. He was low down at everything, but he sure trusted Jesus to save him. He might not have been good at anything, but trusting that Jesus was good enough to save him. When I meet my Lord face to face, I'm not going to come with any kind of resume. Hey, did you see when I did this? Did you see when I did? Because of course he saw. I don't got anything that I can do that's going to be helpful. I just want make sure that he knows that I know him like we know each other. I know you, Lord. Man, this is it. You're my hope. I'm coming before God with one hope. And his name is Jesus Christ, who came to identify with me. I want you to hear some scripture verses where he identifies with us. And we'll just go through these rather quickly. And then we're going to have an illustration. An awesome illustration. Because God gave us two ways of celebrating. There's more than two ways, but there's at least two ways where we say we're going to identify back with you, Lord. One that we do fairly often is the Lord's Supper, where we take the bread and we take the cup and we say we're doing this to identify ourselves as believers, as Jesus people. We do the Lord's Supper. And the other way we identify that he's given us is through baptism. And that's what we're going to celebrate today. We're going to celebrate baptism, where folks are going to say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And they're going to publicly profess their faith. And it's exciting to me. But let's look at these three verses or three sections where Jesus identifies with us. Romans 8:3. Romans 8:3, it says this. God did, and the context of this is what the law could not make us clean. The law could not take away our sin. All the law can do, and everybody who's legalistic and your halos are on too tight and you're wanting everybody to behave and act like good boys and good girls because you think that's more godly, let me just tell you, the law can't clean nobody. So you can tell them they're wrong a billion trillion times, and that telling them they're wrong ain't never going to make them right. All it's going to do is tell them they're wrong. And they can live in that wrong and let you know that they know that you know that they're wrong, but it ain't never going to make them right. The law can't make us right. That's what this says in the verse right before this. But then he says this, but God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. What the law couldn't do, couldn't make us clean, God did by sending his son to be an offering for our sin. You know, some of y'all have seen the illustration with the washcloth and the mirror. The law is like a mirror. All it does is reflect what's on your face. You can smash that and rub that mirror all over your face. Y'all have seen me break mirrors in this church trying to clean my face with a mirror. And it don't work. But you take that washcloth with warm water and you can clean that face off just as easy as can be. The gospel is the washcloth. The law is the mirror. He came to identify with us that we might be saved, that we might be clean. Y'all, listen. We can set all that judgment and titles. Oh, you're an addict. Oh, you're divorced. Oh, you're no good. Or you're a drunk. Or you're a this. Or you're a that. We can throw all that junk out the window. The law tells us. But then Jesus says, but I haven't given up on you. Jesus saves, bro. Right? That's our... Y'all got the shirts on? Y'all see these shirts? I got mine on under here. I'm afraid to pop any of these buttons open because I don't know if I can get it back, but I'm wearing one. And but that's the message. He came to identify with us and take our sin. And man, we ought to trust him. He does for us what the law can't do. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, I'm just going to read this passage. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, and that is the devil. And that he might free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. What does it say? It says that in every way, Jesus knows how to identify with us as human beings. Y'all, church, we ought to realize Jesus is for us, not against us. Man, he came to save us, and we ought to be those people who are glad to proclaim it. He came. He came from heaven to earth to show us the way, and we ought to be singing it. You know, we ought to be hands up, preaching it, teaching it, sharing it whenever we can. You know, I know we got other stuff. I know you got to do work, and when you're working, you got to work. You know, and you don't get to do and say all these things. But y'all, be excited. I'm old enough to know how things get old. How even Christmas and Easter and church and the Bible and the Lord, when we slip into this, when we stop thinking and we stop praying and we stop looking. You know, we don't got to pretend like we're holy all the time. We don't got to pretend like we're on fire for the Lord all the time. But can we do this? Can we at least look and say, regardless of where I am personally, He is awesome. Always, constantly, consistently, He is awesome. And that's what I'm talking about. Just getting to that point, not where we're faking stuff, but where we're looking at Him and saying, yeah, He's worthy of our praise. Because He came to be with us so that we might be with Him. Galatians chapter 4, in verses 4 and 5, talks about how He came to identify with us so that we could identify with Him. It says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. That we might receive adoption to sonship. He came, just like us, born of a woman, under the law, under the condemnation that comes in the law, that we might be adopted. Now, what's the process of adoption? Usually find somebody. You identify somebody who you want to become part of your family. Then you go through a process to make them part of your family. Is that right? I know that's oversimplified, but is that kind of how it works? So what this is saying is God looked down on us, even though we're full of sin, and said, I love y'all. I want y'all to be a part of my family. So I'm going to come just like you, so that there's a way you can be adopted into my family and have my name and share food at my table and live forever in my home. And let me be your God and you be my people forevermore. He came to adopt us. Y'all, I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of His family more than I want to be a part of anybody else's. I understand God gives us responsibilities within our own family, our own flesh and blood family. But I'm telling you, that's part of why He came in flesh and blood, so He could say, I want y'all in my family. I want y'all to be a part of my family first and foremost. Y'all, He came so far to identify with us. And all we have to do to identify with Him is say, yes, I'll let you adopt me. Yes, I'll let you save me. Yes, I'll let you do all this work in my life to make me whole, to make me free, to make me loved, and give me a forever home. That's it. It's a gift. Y'all know, Chris, how much y'all had to pay for your Christmas gifts that you're... I ain't talking to you moms and dads. Golly. Y'all, sorry, you're getting millions of dollars. I spent, national deficit on Christmas presents. I want to talk to you kids. Hey, before you open up Christmas presents, how much money you got to pay your folks to open them? What? What? You ain't got to pay them? You know those things didn't come free? What do you mean it's a gift? What kind of racket we got going on? You mean somebody buys you, if it's a gift, they just give it to you and you just got to take it? You ain't got to pay it back? Yeah. You know what it says in the Bible? It says the wages of sin is death. Y'all know what wages are, right? Now I'm talking to a parent. What's wages? It's the pay. Hey, when we sin, a person can live their whole life, have never been saved, born again through the power of God, work their whole life, and at the end of the life, they're going to receive the wages of their sin. Can you imagine how miserable that's got to be to live through this world and all the ups and downs and all the crazy stuff and get to the end and find out that your wages is just death? Condemnation from God? But that verse don't end with that. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's right. If it's a gift, and that word gift really means gift like everything else, what does that mean? All we got to do is what? Receive. No, don't you take it. All you got to do is take it. All you have to do is receive it. We need to stop lying to folks and act like they got to get somewhere to do something in order to make God happy so He'll do something in their life. And we need to tell them right where they are, you can receive the gift that He's made plainly available to you in Jesus Christ. Man, that's what we need to do. We need to get on that. Because there's all kind of misinformation out there. Man, we ain't never going to get good enough. We ain't never going to have enough. Y'all, How many people in here have ever heard a young couple say, well, we're not going to have children until we can afford it? Thank you. Thank you for laughing. Because you ain't never going to have enough money to afford it. Ever. I have seen people, though, and now this is just as laughable. You invite them to church. I got to get, you know, there's some things I got to get squared away in my life. I got to get good enough, then I'll start coming to church. We'll laugh at that, too. Go, ha, 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 ha. I like that laugh. That's right. Ha, 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 ho, ho, ho. Uh-oh. I'm getting there. It ain't right. They ain't going to get good enough. They're not going to ever get good enough. And after the end of their life of trying and working and working, they're going to get paid the wages of sin. Because they refuse the gift of God. Oh, we don't want anybody to be like that. Not a soul. Now, there is a way for us that we can identify ourselves with God. God allows it. God calls for it. God even says it. He says, look, and I love this verse because it's concise. I love this verse because it tells us something about God. It's not an end-all in itself. But this, for everybody who's going to be baptized today and identify themselves with Christ, we ended with this verse. A verse that says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Period. And I loved it. And we got some other things, but I love when we're walking through this with some of our kids, and we got some kids that are kind of young. You might say, could these kids understand? I believe it. You know why? Because one, I know this is a work of God. Two, man, God said, you got to receive this thing as little children anyway. These kids ain't trying to offer nothing and say how much they've done good. They're saying they've recognized that they've sinned because of a sin nature, and they need Christ to save them. Y'all, and they're responding by identifying with Him. When we get baptized, when we baptize here, they're going to go plunk under the water. First, they're going to make their profession of faith. We're going to smush them underwater and bring them back up. That's important. And what they're doing is they're identifying, saying, I believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. They're also saying this, I believe that I have died to the way that I was living. I know these kids were bank robbers before they got saved. You know, we ain't got no testimonies of I was selling drugs for a South American cartel and all that. We ain't got none of that. None of that here today. Praise God for those testimonies. But you know, these kids came to understand that they had a sin in their life that separated them from God. They came to understand that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They came to understand that there is none righteous, no, not one. That included them, their folks, their preacher, and everybody. And then they came to say, yeah, I know Jesus died for my sins. I trust Him. I believe He rose from the dead. And they all declared that Jesus Christ is their Lord. And I believe they were saved. They're not being baptized to be saved. They're being baptized because they were saved. And now they're making it public to bring glory to the one who saved them. That's what they're doing. Okay? That's what this is. It's a way of identifying. So, for those who are going to be baptized today, if you start making your way here, and for those who are not being baptized today, like my son, if you would come up here and assist me to do some of these things. We're going to take this off and set it right behind. No, right in front. Right in front. I know. Water's a little chilly. Not bad. Not bad. If you're here just to witness this because you're a proud family, I want to invite y'all. I want to, you make your, get where you can see. Get where you can take a picture. Get where you can do what we need to do, okay? And that's gonna be fine. Let me say this too. This is a celebration. Now, we have one lonely, rapidly deflating beach ball. It's kind of pitiful. Miss Barton, she's been working on that thing. You've been doing so good. But what I want to know is if the beach ball lasts or if it don't. When we see one of these folks, one of these youngins, and they profess faith in Christ, and they say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, you know what the angels do? Celebrate. What do the angels do when one sinner repents?
Celebrate.
They celebrate. They throw a party. I believe they sing and dance. Y'all can say, oh, they ain't supposed to be doing that. I don't care what you think. They're going to be singing and they're going to be dancing. Man, when the prodigal son returned, they had music playing. They celebrated. They made merry. Now, we're going to have these youngins come up, and they're going to make their profession of faith and baptize. And when they say, my name is such and such, and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, church, celebrate. Celebrate. We might not always be able to celebrate in such big public ways like this. While we can, we ought to make the most of it. So I want y'all to hoop. I want y'all to holler. I want y'all to make some noise and just be happy, okay? Especially if it's your youngin'. This ain't like graduation ceremony, and there ain't nobody going to say, you shush and wait until the end. Make a noise, a joyful noise. All right? Y'all with me? All right, now I have to take this microphone off. So it's going to look indecent, but it's not.
Sister team right here, and we're not going to dunk them, you know, at the same time. We're going to give them separate dunkings, but, oops, sorry, man. Oh, you're good now, you're done. No, I'm just kidding. What happened was, Aunt Grace had been on me for a little bit. She was like, I want to talk to you, and I told her, I said, I'm going to come by your house, and I told Lynn, I told Joey, I'm going to come by y'all's house, I'm going to come by your house, and I just wasn't able to get there, we just wasn't able to work out. And all of a sudden, Jax, he started wanting to talk and know about the Lord and these things. And so Anyways, I got my big tail over there eventually, and we just sat down and had a wonderful evening at their home, at which point, man, they broke out their Bible. They broke out their Bible. And they started showing me about these things and talking about faith and talking about who Jesus is to them, and it was an awesome thing. Now, I know, like I said, these guys look little, but you remember what Jesus said? He would start bringing children to them. And the disciples started saying things like, hey, you're bothering the rabbi. You're bothering Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Y'all remember what Jesus said? He said, let the little children come on to me. Y'all stop bothering them. You get out of their way and you let them come to me. So I know that a lot of times we think short people, they might not be able to get it. But I'm going to tell you something. These ones get it. And I talked to them for a good while. Their folks were there. They were not shy. And they were willing to do this. Remember, this is not them getting saved. They've asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, and they're just testifying to it.
My name is Jackson, and...
saved, he called his daddy. I don't know who else he might have. Did he call his brother? Who else did he call? Like, did he call anybody else? He called you? Did you know? He called his brother and said, hey, I got saved. But you can imagine he's just a little intimidated because y'all just, you know, you ain't smiling big enough. And I think y'all just look ominous. But he's just going to come over. Just come on over here and wait for us. Okay? And it's okay. It's okay. We love you.
My name is Hannah, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
She's asked Jesus in her heart, you know, and just was talking to the Lord and doing these things. For a while, I got to be her teacher in VBS, and I remember she told me that testimony. Yesterday, we just got together. We prayed. We went through the Bible and what it says and how it says about being saved. And we just worked through it. And she said, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to declare Jesus as my Lord and Savior, because she believes in her heart that God, that Jesus died for her sins and rose from the dead. And that's what she did. And I'm going to let her tell you the rest. She was looking at me like, tell me the rest of what? Now, explain the mystery of the incarnated Lord.
My name is Nevaeh, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
She's saying, you know, I want to be saved. But me and her family, they remind me and my family, we didn't go to church. You know, we didn't have any of that. So, y'all, listen to me when I say this. Man, it's a blessing when God uses us to reach those that ain't nowhere else like that. You know what I'm saying? That's an awesome thing. I'm not going to tell you the exact nature of her first interaction with Jamie Harrison, our youth group.
Standing right here, Mr. Harrison was my principal. Okay. So, okay. So, it was the end of the day, and Mr. Harrison was doing his rounds, and I had a pacifier in my mouth. And he told me to take it out, and I got real disrespectful. I cussed him out. I threw it at him. Everything. And y'all, I don't know what. Look at me in his church.
Hey, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Y'all, if we gonna blush, get offended, every time somebody says something we don't like, how are we going to reach the people Jesus loves and wants to reach? Man, we've got to be there. I'm so proud of this girl. And we went through the gospel like we did with everybody else, and she prayed and received Christ, and now she gets to give her witness. She's just throwing water on the floor. Water on the floor.
My name is Mia Lanice Parker, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Mia Parker, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is my great honor and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
All that we've seen today is simply in response to what God has done for us. We all have an opportunity to respond. He came to identify with us. We have the opportunity to identify with Him. Me and ask, when are y'all going to get baptized? And many of you probably say, me, I've been baptized. And praise God. But for those who have not, for those who have yet to identify with Christ, I just want to tell you this. He is willing and He is able to accept you, to love you, to adopt you into His family, just as you are, just where you are. He loves you. He came for you. Okay? So, you just remember that. I'm going to pray for us, and as I do, I'm going to ask that the ushers would come down for the morning offering. And I think there's ushers to come down for the morning offering. Here they come. I don't know what the offering deals are, but that's what I'm sure they do. And let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. To think about how it is you put yourself in our shoes. You wore our clothes. You came to identify with us as human beings. And then you came to identify with our sin so you could be our offering. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise. Lord, I thank you for all of these. Father, for those who responded, for the honesty of Jackson to say he needed to wait. Father, for everything that we saw today, all that we heard from your word, everything we got to sing, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming to save us and caring for us and loving us and doing for us what we can't do. And Lord, in this offering, we just say thank you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. y'all. I'm so glad to be your pastor. I love you. Have a great, wonderful, Merry Christmas wherever you are. Take the opportunity to tell people about how good God is, not about how bad they are or about how good we are. Tell them how good God is, right? Because that's what we're celebrating this time of year. And have a blast. Y'all, there ain't nothing wrong with Christian people enjoying who they are in the Lord, just having an awesome time, okay? So have a wonderful, great time. My family and I are going to be out of town. We're driving up to Michigan and hopefully driving back too. And that's the plan. Last year we were smack dab in the middle of a blizzard, going down I-75 at about 15 miles per hour through Ohio. Couldn't see anything. Just kind of like, oh no, like skating. It was wonderful. But one, you know, don't got to do it anymore. We've done that now, you know. So hopefully we ain't got, you know, we're looking for clear sailing. Let's pray for everybody. Enjoy the company you have. Thank you all for being here, friends and guests. I'm going to pray us out. And we do just, man, just be happy. Amen. Y'all ready? Father God, thank you for loving us. Are y'all going to sing out? We got to sing. They're going to sing us out. We got a song after I'm done praying. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you. And just to say, yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, we'll follow you. Yes, we'll receive the gift. Yes, we'll love you. Yes, we'll love our neighbor as ourselves. Yes, we just want to be on your team, in your family, and have your name. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's sing out.
Everything inside me cries for order. Everything inside me wants to follow. As the shadow makes me one for you. God is pleased with me. Why am I so tearful? Some tell me I am only dreaming. Yourself inside me.